continue these thoughts from this morning in the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 4. And we looked at this morning the announcement by the Apostle Paul to these Galatians and telling them, this is the message that I'm conveying to you, is a message of adoption. And that by their obedience to the will of God, that they can be the adopted children of God. They can be heirs to the promise, heirs to eternity, that eternal home. And that's the announcement that he gives to them. And as he has done in the past, he does so here again in writing this letter. As we have looked at the first three chapters so far, he gives them some instruction of how to do this. Because we mentioned at the outset of the lesson this morning that we can become children of God, and once we do, we must live a certain way. And Paul relays this message to the Galatians as he moves on in this chapter here, telling that they must live a certain way as adopted children of God to inherit those promises that from the Father. In verse 12 of Galatians 4, it is, because I am, essentially there, it says, I beseech you, brethren, become as I am, for I also am become as you are. Ye did me no wrong. Become as I am. As he is. As he is a child of God. As he has lived his life in service to God. As he has given up, when he writes the Philippian letter, in Philippians chapter 2, where he says he gave up things. He gave up those things willingly to become a servant of God, to serve God. And he says, I counted them as loss. The things of this life, the things that he had to sacrifice. And keep in mind, when Paul is writing these letters and he says such thing as this, of who he was in the Jewish society. He had a reputation in Jewish society. He was a Pharisee. So he was way up on the totem pole in Jewish society. And he's writing these things now to become as I am. You remember, Paul is before King Agrippa. He made similar statement to the king. Acts 26, verses 28 and 29, he says, And Agrippa said unto Paul, With but little persuasion thou wouldest fain make me a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that whether with little or with much, not thou only, but also all that hear me this day might become such as I am, except these bonds. Become as I am, as I am a servant of God. And in a similar statement, but different wording, he tells the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, where he says, Be ye imitators of me. Why is he wanting the Corinthians to imitate him? Why is he wanting the Galatians here and those in King Agrippa and those in his hearing there? Why is he wanting them to become as he is? He says, Because I am an imitator of Christ. An example. I am an example of a servant of Christ. I am an example of what you must do to be a child of God. I am an example of what you must do to become an adopted child of God. So look to me. Look to the example. Become as I am. He wanted these Christians to be as he was in being fully devoted to Christ. Because we cannot be a child of God, an adopted child of God, and have the promises if we are not fully devoted to being that child of God. Remember in Galatians chapter 2, when we began this study, there in verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me, who gave himself up for me. And he conveys a similar message to the Romans as well. In Romans chapter 1, about two-thirds away so through that letter there. Chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. There are things that he's telling these Galatians that you are going to have to give up if you want to be a child of God. You're going to have to give up certain things in this life. You're going to have to forget your former life, the way that you lived, and live according to the instructions that God has given. Be willing to sacrifice for others. Galatians 4 and verse 15. When then is that gratulation of yourselves? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. We need to be willing, Paul tells these Galatians here, and this message extends to us, of course, that we need to be willing to sacrifice for others. As a life of a Christian is a life in service, not only to our Father, to our King, but in service to others. Others includes mankind. Show good unto all men. A message we'll get to here as we move on in this book. Show good unto all men, especially of them in the household of faith. Serve others. Think of yourself as others before others. What is the great commandment that Jesus has asked? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. The second commandment, the second one, is like to that. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Paul's telling these Galatians here, love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you'll sacrifice for your neighbor. Despite some warnings and some rebukes in this letter, the Galatians were doing some good things. They were willing to sacrifice for Paul. Paul was willing to sacrifice for others as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. And I will mostly glad spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more abundantly, am I loved the less? Paul was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to serve others. He was willing to help others. Because the love that he had for Christ, the love that he had in his heart as being a child of God, led him to that service of others. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and beginning there in verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, of the seed of David, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer hardship unto bonds as a malefactor, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with glory. He was willing to sacrifice for his brothers and sisters in Christ. There, I endure all things for the elect's sake. For their sake, for them to remain faithful, for them to have the promises of God, for them to be the adopted children of God, he was willing to endure the things that he went through. All for them. All in service to them, and in service to his Lord. This is what it means to show love for others. To put others first. When you did not know God, when we did not know God, we were slaves. We kind of touched on that this morning as we're introducing this in the announcement that he made to these Galatians. We were bondservants to sin. Galatians 4 and chapter verse 8. Howbeit, at that time, not knowing God, ye were in bondage to them that by nature are no gods. You're in bondage to sin, in bondage to Satan. But once we come to know God and we know God, we're released from those bonds of sin. and we become the servant of Christ. Prior to being adopted by God and having an inheritance in Him, before that they were Christians, before we became Christians, before we became the adopted children of God, we lived in bondage to sin. The freedom that freed us as Christians from that bond, from those chains, only comes from the Lord. John 8 and verse 31 and 32. 32 we know well. But read with me in verse 31 beginning. Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed Him, "If ye abide in My word, and then you are truly My disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 36. "If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." There's no trick here. There's no deception by God. If you love Him and you believe in Him and you are truly His disciples, the truth is going to make you free. Not free to do whatever you want, as many take it, but free from the bondage of sin. And if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. Your sin will be forgiven. That burden of sin will be lifted off of your shoulders by Jesus Christ. You shall be free from that. There's no other one that can provide that for us. 2 Peter 2 and in verse 19, promising them liberty while they themselves are bondservants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he also brought into bondage. This brings to mind what? Televangelists. Promising people things that they can in no way deliver. False teachers, any false teacher, promising people things that they cannot deliver. They cannot free somebody from their sin. Only the truth. Only through the Son can Jesus do that. Can that be done? The only thing a false teacher can guarantee someone is something that they will never, ever utter. By you following Me, I can guarantee you a place in hell. You'll never hear them say that because they promise liberty. They promise freedom. They promise riches. They promise if you send your bills to them, that God will take those bills away from you and you'll never have to pay those. They can in no way deliver on any of the promises that they speak of. They themselves are bondage in bondage to sin and to Satan. Enslaved to sin, John 8 and verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin." Romans 6 and verse 16, we touched on again this morning as well. Verses 17 and 18 in there too, as we read on. "Know you not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Your manner of life is going to determine who you serve. Your conduct is going to determine who you serve. If you're living a life in obedience, you're serving God the Father. If you're living a life of sin, a life of disobedience, you're in bondage, you're serving the master of lies, Satan. Paul tells these Galatians, you can no longer live that way. As adopted children of God, God has laid out for you the way that He expects each and every one of you to live. He tells them how, He has told them how they can become children of God. And He's told them that you can be, you are not of Jewish descent, you Galatians. But you can be the adopted child of God and have the promises that were given to mankind by God the Father. You can have those. You can receive those. But He gives them a warning as well. We kind of touched on again this morning as well. But He gives them a warning. He says, do not become enslaved again to sin. Verse 9 of Galatians 4. But now that ye have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how turn ye back again to the weak and the beggarly rudiments, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage over again? How can you, knowing the promises that are before you, knowing what the rewards of being a faithful child of God is, how can you go back and or how can you have a desire to be in bondage over again? You remember what Jesus says about such one? The last state is worse than the first. Because you have come to know God. How you turn back again and have a desire to be in bondage over again. How can you have the desire of knowing and having the desire to go back? Galatians 5 and verse 4, you know, a Christian can fall away. It says, you have fallen from grace. And we'll talk more about that next week when we get into chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. But I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. Be careful what we say, what we preach, what we teach, so that we are not rejected. We can choose to follow another master. We mentioned Romans 6 and verse 16 and read that just a moment ago. We can serve. If we're not serving God, we're serving someone. We can serve ourselves. But we are ultimately serving the Prince of Darkness. That's the only two masters that we can serve. Our God and Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ, or the Prince of Darkness. Compare those two. The Prince of Darkness, Satan, or the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Who do we serve? Matthew 6 and verse 24, Jesus says, we cannot serve two masters. We must choose one to serve. The other master. And serving others, or serving ourselves rather, or serving things. These other masters, or this other master ultimately, is weak. And is worthless and cannot compare to Christ. He is weak because he has been defeated. Christ defeated him, conquered him. Who wants to serve a master that is weak and worthless? Sadly, too many. Do not turn against those who teach the truth. Verse 16, here in Galatians 4. So then, am I become your enemy by telling you the truth? This passage here in Galatians could very well be said and repeated today. Those who tell the truth become the enemies. Those who stand for truth become the enemy. If that becomes the case, if that is the case, count me as an enemy, because I will speak the truth. Over years here, you have seen and heard and maybe read of preachers who have stood for the truth that are now enemies of many in the church because of their stand. Let us not become one of those who turn against truth or are offended by the truth. Often the reaction to the gospel is similar to what Amos has to say in chapter 5 and verse 10. They hate him that reproveth in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. And this not only applies to biblical or spiritual matters, but applies in everyday life. The one who speaks the truth is abhorred, is seen as the enemy in many's eyes. Paul's history, I won't take time to read all of those, of course, but Paul, the history of Paul. He was turned against for speaking the truth. In both aspects of his life, he before his conversion, and when he thought in good conscience that he was doing things, what he was doing and being pleasing to God, the Jews were against him. And then after his conversion, the ones who were with him over here turned against him over here. But it did not sway him. It did not discourage him. He continued to speak the truth until his death. We need to accept the truth. But we need to not only accept it, but accept it humbly. James chapter 1, verse 19, beginning. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of a man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. If we don't accept it for anything else, accept it because of that. It is able to save our souls. If you can't find any other reason to accept the Word of God, accept the truth, accept it for that, because it will save your soul. When we hear anything, even if it offends us, we must examine it examining it according to the Scriptures. Acts 17 and verse 11, as the Bereans were. They examined the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Those who are wise will accept correction. Remember this from Proverbs 13 and verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scoffer heareth not rebuke. A wise person will hear what someone has to say. And there's a way that that message can convey, can be conveyed by hateful tone. But listen to the instruction, listen to the correction, and accept that. Accept it because someone, and be thankful that someone is looking out for you. Be thankful that someone is listening to you. Do not follow false teachers to take advantage of you. Verse 17 of Galatians. They zealously seek you in no good way. Nay, they desire to shut you out, that ye may seek them. False teachers are going to try to lead you away from Christ. This was what happened. It was happening to the Galatians, and how Paul began this letter. That they were being led away to listen, to receive another gospel. It was no different for the Galatians as it was the Ephesians. And Paul warns the Ephesian elders there to be warned, to be careful. Chapter 20 and verse 30 of Acts. From among you, your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. The false teacher is going to do whatever it takes to draw people away from Christ. They don't care about how they do it. They don't care what they say. They don't care what they do. Just as long as someone is drawn away from following Christ. Because that means they're now a follower of them. The only way that they will succeed, the only way that they will be successful, is if we are not watchful and we are not careful. When Peter concludes his second letter, he closes that letter out by saying, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." But prior to that, he says this in verse 17 of 2 Peter 3. "Ye therefore, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, beware lest being carried away with the error of the wicked, ye fall from your own steadfastness." The only way that we are going to not follow the false teachers is if we know these things before. Before we hear their perverse, twisted misinterpretations of the Scriptures, know what the Scripture says first. Be watchful. Be careful. So you are not drawn away and you fall from your own steadfastness. We must, as children of God, as a church of the New Testament, we must test we must mark and we must avoid false teachers. The latter of those three, to avoid them, is going to be practically impossible because we encounter them every day. But we must do our very best to avoid them, at least avoid their teaching. Teach them the truth. Show them the truth. But don't let their perverse ways draw you from Christ. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits. Examine what they say. Test what they say in accordance with what God has to say. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There are some who are not going to want to follow God. They're content to teach what they teach. They're content with the wealth that they have gained by false teaching. And they're not going to change, more than likely. False teachers must be marked. Romans 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which ye learned, and turn away from them. They must be marked so that others know of their teaching, so they are not drawn away by their lies and their deception. 2 John verses 10 and 11. Don't give them any greeting. Don't encourage them in their false teaching. Giving that encouragement to them, we become partakers of their evil deeds. We consent with them and their teaching. Be wary of those. Be watchful. Be careful. Satan and his followers are walking about as roaring lions, seeking whom they may devour. We need to be on our guard so Satan is not successful in leading us away from Christ. Through Jesus' death on the cross, we can receive the adoption of sons. We can become the adopted children of God. We can be heirs of God. Once we became a child of God, we must live a certain way. We must follow the one, the head of the church, our Savior. Do not allow yourself to be led away from the truth. Become such as I am, as Paul tells these Galatians. Be wholly devoted to God and faithfully serve Him. This is the message of this book here to these Galatians. They were beginning to be led astray as he begins this letter. They were losing sight of the hope that was before them. Let us not lose that hope. Let us continue to be faithful to God in all things. Let us follow Christ, be faithful to Him until our death. If you're not a child of God this morning or this evening, you can come to Him in obedience by repenting of your sins, asking God for His forgiveness, confessing Him before men, and be baptized with the remission of your sins. You can put on Christ tonight. You, as a child of God, as an erring child of God, have gone back into a world of sin, can come to Christ tonight by repenting of that sin, praying to God and asking for His forgiveness. You can do that. God has given you the opportunity to do so. What will you do with it? What will you do with the opportunity Christ has, God has given you tonight to be obedient to Him? Won't you come to Him while we stand and while we sing?